Dr. Colm Anochtar, child and adolescent psychotherapist, joins me in studio now to answer any parenting issues that you might be facing. And again, like I said, you can get in touch, text 51551 or email ray@rte.ie. You can do so anonymously if you like. It is good to see you, sir. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. You have little ones finishing school and with a long summer ahead of them.
My eldest lad now has just finished first year, so it's the first 3 months off.
Right.
So he's a month there before the others. He's at that age where he's too old for camps and too young for a job. So it's
so that comes down to you then,
yeah,
the entertainment coordinator.
So trying to be as productive as possible whilst still letting him to chill a bit. But it'll be a new experience for us all. So this is day one of it. So, he's not bored yet. But
Well, that's good. That's a good start. Yeah. I'm going to get straight into it because we have a good few queries in from people. And talking about school ending, this person has texted in, my 12-year-old son is very anxious about primary school coming to an end. He keeps saying to me that he's worried about secondary school next year and that he thinks that it feels too big for him. We went to an open day a couple of weeks ago and this has all started since then. The school is a lot larger than the primary school he is in at the moment, and a lot of the chat at the open day was around how great the sports were in the school. He is not sporty at all, which is grand, but I think it might be stemming from this. I try to appease his worries by telling him that the school seems big now, but he'll get used to it, and that there is more to do there than sports. I worry that he's thinking he won't fit in, and if he approaches secondary school with such a negative attitude, he won't enjoy the time that he's there. Any advice would be welcome.
Yeah, this is a really big transition. Like, if you can imagine being 12 or 11, you know, as you're approaching that, you've had one teacher all the day long. Now you're going to have 9 different personalities.
I remember feeling so overwhelmed.
It's huge. And you go to these open nights and to the best will in the world, the school is trying to pitch the sale, mostly to parents, you know, where we get these grades in our leaving cert. We've all these sports medals and things like that. But to the child, there's a kind of a pressure. You know, you're seeing that as, you know, gosh, you know, I have a spelling test on a Friday. That's as tense as things get in primary school, and now I've got all this pressure. And the building is huge. You know, there's teenagers there with beards, and you know, you're carrying a school bag that weighs twice what you are. You know, it is a massive thing. On the flip side of that, most are fine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing we have to remember. Most do manage, but they do need a huge amount of support. And it's about encouraging him that when he gets there, he's not going to be on his own. Like, the teachers all are aware that you'll get lost. They'll be aware that you will struggle in the first part. They will do everything they can to encourage you to find friends and to find a group and to find, you know. And while it may feel overwhelming, it's not. You have to remind him of the supports that are in place.
Mm.
Saying to him, you'll get used to it, isn't the same as saying, look, whatever happens, we'll manage it. If you're overwhelmed or you're finding it difficult, we'll help you, and the teachers will help you, and the school community will help you. Because, you know, while there is that idea, the first years up until Christmas, they do get as much support, I think, as possible in most schools. They do, you know, oftentimes I think they withdraw the support a bit quickly. Oftentimes after Christmas can be a bit of a challenge, and second year for me is where they need the most support. But from that point of view, there'll be a lot of leeway and license. And to what he's probably, anxiety is always about the future, we worry about. So it's trying to tell him that, not guaranteeing everything will be okay, but saying to him, if it's not okay, we'll manage it. You know,
trying to reassure him.
Yeah. And not everybody in school, in secondary school, loves sport. You know, there'll be people who will love all these different things. You just didn't hear about those people on the open night, but they're there. There's going to be a community of young people in your year, in your class, that will have the same interests as you, and that you'll forge these connections. And, you know, I think friendships are so important to get you through that point of view.
Yes.
We should be doing everything we can to facilitate friendships in first year, to make as many connections as possible. And it's an investment that doesn't go to waste.
Like, do you think there's merit in, you know, because some kids start school with a friend or two or five from primary school that are going to the same school. Is there merit in kind of seeking out, if your child is going to a secondary school on their own, that you maybe contact and try and find? Or is that just getting your nose in their business?
I think teachers are well placed to kind of know that some person is coming from one school. Maybe they're coming on their own, and they'll put scaffolding in place. They might, you know, they'll make accommodations for, you know, to keep an eye on that kid, particularly because they're coming without peers. When you go with a group from primary school, it can tunnel you a little bit. You know, you can stay within that group and not broaden your horizons, you know, maybe for the most of first year, and miss out on potential friendships that are there. But it's really important that the activities in first year are about connection. They're about, and again, this goes back to our pandemic impact. Like the transition from primary school to secondary school is really important. You're saying goodbye to a part of your life that was very safe, it was very predictable, and you're going into a complete unknown. And an investment in that transition is hugely important. And we saw the young people who missed out on that transition due to pandemic lockdowns really struggled, because imagine going in then, social distancing, masks, all that sort of stuff into that new, and they're kind of third years, fourth years. And we do see a lot of issues with friendships and connection within that age group now because of missing out on that. So for adults, teachers, anyone, I just think as much scaffolding as we can to enable that transition, but reassuring parents that in most cases, it turns out fine.
Okay. You know? Okay. Please help Coleman. Our 10 and a half year old is biting her nails down to the knob of her fingers. We've tried everything since this started over a year ago. The horrible tasting polish, fancy manicures to give her some nail self-esteem, even teaching her how to knit so she would have something to occupy her hands. But nothing has overtaken her love of biting her nails. We really would love her to stop before she gets too self-conscious about it or does some damage to her hands. There are days that I notice that her fingers bleed and I just feel so bad for her.
Yeah, I'd be concerned about the wording of that, her love of biting her nails. You know, I'm not so sure this is a child who loves doing it, but gets something from it. And there's a difference. You know, if there's something sensory from something, it's not that you're unwilling to stop, but maybe you're unable to stop. It's a habit,
yes.
You know, and so it can be really difficult. And you can put all the smelling stuff on your fingers and everything else.
Because it doesn't state how long she's been doing this.
No,
well, over a year ago.
Yeah, and
over
again, there's a lot of assumptions that that's related to anxiety or some sort of distress and she's seeking that out. That's not always the case. You know, sometimes it's just something, it's a kind of a sensory self-soothing thing that she's getting into. I would say in the approaching this, less is more. The more of an issue you make of it and the more important it is for you to do something about it, the less likely the impact to be. I would say bring the attention away from it. You know, it's not about, because you're making an issue. It's a bit like food. Sometimes we get all kind of up in arms around getting children to eat. Sometimes that makes their refusal even more likely. So I would say back off with this. Like in every case, in most cases, this is something you grow out of or you find something different to do. But I'd be taking a much more supportive than a kind of a critical role with this child. She's doing it for a reason, and it's not, her purpose is not to annoy you. That's not why she's doing it. So try to depersonalize that a little bit. And if she's struggling to stop, that may be not because she's unwilling to stop, but it's more likely because she's unable to manage it at the moment. So by all means, put those supports in place, but less is more in terms of your approach.
Okay. I found out from another parent that my 13-year-old daughter has a boyfriend and it's been going on for about 3 months now. I was shocked to hear it as she is a very young 13-year-old and I didn't expect her to enter this world of relationships so early on. Apparently the boy in question is 14, nearly 15, which to me seems too old for her. She's just turned 13. I really don't know how to approach this. What do you do as a parent in this situation? Do I ban her from seeing him? Do I have to remind her of the birds and the bees? I'm upset even writing this. I feel like she's too immature to be in this space and I don't want her to feel pressured into doing something she's not ready to do. Then again, the best case scenario is that it's a bit of innocent handholding. I want her to be able to talk to me about it and I need a gentle approach as I don't want her to feel like she's in trouble.
Yeah, again, the term in a relationship and boyfriend when it comes to teenagers can mean a lot of things. It can be the very innocent thing to something, you know, more significant. What I would say, absolutely don't ban and don't get into that idea because, you know, you're shutting down the conversation. You want your daughter to be able to come to you about this. So it is about having a conversation around, you know, what she understands a relationship to mean. What does she like about being in a relationship? What are the things that she's worried about? And again, it's not about being cool mom and her friend. That's not the thing I'm trying to say. But it is about trying to keep the avenues of conversation open. So if she does feel a little bit overwhelmed in it, she can come to you for advice. If you're very critical of it and you're talking about banning it or she's not allowed to see him or not allowed to do anything, your daughter's on her own then if she starts to struggle in that relationship. So it's absolutely about trying to understand it from her, you know, from her point of view. Tell me about it, you know, pitch it to me. Like what are the things that you like about this boy? What is it you like about being in a relationship? You'll get more of an understanding of what her experience of it is by having that conversation. And, you know, again, some 13-year-olds would be the furthest thing from their mind to be thinking about relationships. Others, perhaps, maybe, you know, what we do know is children are getting older, younger, and that's not a good thing oftentimes. But it wouldn't have been unusual 15, 20 years ago for 13-year-olds to have boyfriends either. Do you know? And I think, remember when you were a 13-year-old and go back to that time, you know, that you might have had interest in boys and things like that starting to happen. So it would have been handy to have a good enough adult in your life to kind of coach you through it if you had any difficulties with it.
Okay. All right. Listen, thanks a million for that. We dealt with a lot of different emotions there. And as it turns out, there are a lot of new emotions coming in the new Inside Out 2 sequel, which is out next week. Great movie. Loved the first one. What we'd like for you to do, Colman, is set you a challenge of going along to the screening and to come back and give the psychotherapist view of the movie, if you're up for that.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to see how Riley manages adolescence. Yeah, I look forward to it. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Listen, it's always a pleasure to see you. That was Dr. Colman Nochter answering your parenting queries there.